But all right, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Here's a prayer. Now, this is a prayer that God gave to Paul, the Holy Spirit gave to Paul, and Paul gave it to the church. Not just to the Ephesians, he gave it to us too. But this prayer, this is a prayer that you can pray. When you have a kid or a friend or a loved one that you know is born again, but they're out there living crazy, this is a prayer for them. And it's actually a prayer that you can pray for somebody. Maybe you get a newborn believer and you want to help, you want them to grow in the Lord, this is a good prayer to pray over them. You know, newborn believers need a lot of prayer. Did you know that? I mean, it's great that they get born again, but it can't just stop at that. They need to be continually fed, amen, prayed for. Verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Number one question you have to ask yourself is, where is your ID? Where do you identify? You know, there's some people running around identifying as all kinds of stuff. They need to get focused. But we have Christians running around that don't know where they stand. They have no idea where their true identity lays. They're trying to find themselves. This is where you find yourself, right here. Jesus found himself in the Bible. We find ourselves in the Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you identified in Christ or in the world? How do you see yourself positionally? Where are you in the Spirit? Sometimes to get a better revelation of where you are spiritually, you need to start identifying yourself from the finish to the start. You know, you can read the Bible backwards and it'll be healthy for you. When I was a kid, these teachers, I swear I never heard it, but they said you could play these records backwards and you could hear the devil's voice. I never heard. I don't know. I guess I didn't hear the right tapes or the right records or whatever. I don't know, man. It just sounded like you had a cat by the tail. But they said if you played it backwards, you could hear the devil's voice. And I thought, wow, man. They must have different tapes than I do. I don't know. I don't know how they figured out how they got a tape to play backwards. I don't know. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. If you meditate this and go backwards from here, this verse tells us we have not only been seated, we were also raised up. Literally, you were raised up. That means to rouse from death. Now you understand why I say you've already done all the dying you're going to do. Once you get born again. See, this is why Paul said that death has no sting for you. Death has lost its sting. See, you've already done all the dying you're going to do. Now you've been made alive forever in Christ Jesus. This is an important thing for some people to see, because sometimes, you know, they may get attacked with something and they are so afraid of dying that that's all they can think about. And they literally just can't receive anything else. But when you understand that you've already done all the dying you're going to do, and all you're going to do is change addresses, well, that's not so bad. When you know where your new address is, that's kind of a promotion. I mean, wouldn't you say that's a kind of a good thing? A very dear friend of mine had a heart attack and passed away. And they were out cutting firewood. And his friends, they were right there. And they said they couldn't stop him. He had a smile on his face and he was gone. They tried everything. And they said he was smiling and he was out of there. They said there was no stopping him. I mean, he knew. He was just changing addresses. But literally, you've been roused from death. That means you've been revivified spiritually. Spiritually, you were dead. Before you get born again. Now, there's a transition. See, here's an important thing for people to understand. Because there's babies and children that die early. And people say, well, what about them? So they were not old enough to make a decision on their own. Until they get old enough to make a quality decision on their own, one way or another, for Christ, they belong to God. God is not going to lose those babies. Amen? But there is a time when you're a child that your spirit is alive to God. And that's the only thing I remember when I was a little kid preaching. I would go upstairs and I would preach. And then somewhere along the line, I got wolfified. and that kind of went away. And my spirit wasn't alive to God anymore until I got born again. So I was spiritually dead until I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit came in and revivified me. Then he does it to you. That's what happened. Now, you're done dying. You may wear out your earth suit. Some of us may wear them out a little faster than others. But when you do, you're just changing addresses. Now, go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Now that we understand where we are, we started at the finish. We're seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. No Christian should ever live his life under the circumstances. You know, no Christian should ever, ever be a victim of circumstances. When they are, it's because they don't identify with Christ. They may be born again, but evidently they haven't taken the time to have their mind renewed to who they truly are in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's some people that are okay with just being born again. And they're just going to tough it out until they get to heaven, and then everything's going to be good. You can have the good right here on this earth. The Bible tells us that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, there's no enemies in heaven. So that table is right here for us right now. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Isn't that interesting? "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him." You see that? You took a trip to the cross in Christ Jesus. "That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Look at verse 3. It says, "We were baptized into Christ." When you get born again, your life is swallowed up by His. You're completely engulfed. You're submerged into Christ by the operation of the Holy Spirit. See, that's the one baptism they're talking about. The one baptism they're talking about. That's the one baptism that is necessary to get to heaven. It's being born again. You get baptized into the body of Christ. Now you can go get water baptized, or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then go get water baptized, or you can get them both at the same time. It's up to you and how much you want to believe God to receive at that time. My friend, they dunked Him and He came up speaking in tongues. You know, I know a Baptist preacher that got dunked and came up speaking in tongues. And the reason I know that is because one day we were visiting and he was having some, we were having a pretty deep talk, and he said, "I need some help with that baptism of the Holy Spirit." And so I said, "Okay, well, let's just receive that." And he said, "Okay." So I started praying with him, and I said, "Stop. Just stop." And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, "You've already been down this path. You've spoken in tongues. Now what's going on?" He stepped back, and he said, "How'd you know that?" I said, "How do you think I knew that?" He said, "Well, I thought it was just me." And I said, "Well, it ain't." So keep going on it. Keep going. If you've already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, keep praying in tongues. Amen. You're going to receive what you believe. You just will believe God for all you can get. He's already poured it out onto you. Now, look at verse 6. This is important. Our old man, that's the you before you got born again. That's your old you before you got born again. Remember, the Bible says you've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus? It said, our old man is crucified with him. That's how 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 happened. It said, you got made new creatures in Christ Jesus. That had to happen so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 could happen. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See how all this ties in together? None of this is in there to fill out a chapter. It always leads to a special place. Every step of everything Jesus did, you were there. Every step, you were there. Now, go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holiday, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, all of this needs to be held on to very tightly. You need to stay on the grace side of the cross. People are big on getting people born again, and that's very important. And they'll tell people, said, you are saved by grace. But then they forget about the salvation part. And they focus on the born again part. So this new born again believer shows up, and he doesn't really know much other than he's got born again. Maybe he even got baptized, water baptized, you know, but he shows up. And whether you like to believe it or not, you church folks are pretty freaky people to a new born again believer. Sometimes church folks think they're pretty freaky people. But believe me, they think you're just as freaky as you think they are. But here's the thing. They come in here, all they know is that they're saved by grace. They don't need anybody saying, now here's these five things that you have to do to get to heaven. Here's these 10 things that you need to do. Said, here's a better way to approach that. It's a good thing for you to read your Bible. That's one of the things that you should do to help you grow spiritually. Water baptism is a special thing. It helps you identify with Christ. It's not needful to get to heaven, but it is something that's needful for you to live a victorious Christian life. Praying is a good thing to learn. It's not going to get you to heaven, but it's a good way for you to develop your fellowship with God, not relationship. He's already got that established through the blood of Christ when he got born again. But it's a good way to help you to develop your fellowship with God. Amen. There's a better way to approach these things. You know, so you could fast. It's a good thing. It helps you to get your flesh under control and tune your spirit into God. But don't think that you're going to go get powered up by fasting. You're already powered up. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's where your endowment of power comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can pray in tongues, and that's a great thing. That's going to help you fellowship with God in a heavenly language that you can't understand. But understand this, that is not going to get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is being born again. Now, these other things are necessary to salvation. Remember, when you get born again, you are saved. You're saved to the point that if something happens, you're going to Jesus. I mean, he owns you. Okay? But you are being saved right now. See, salvation is that great big word. Not just born again. Salvation has in it protection, deliverance, healing, all the stuff a man needs. Are you done being saved on this earth? Then you're done being healed, protected, delivered, prospered, all this other stuff? No? Then you're still being saved. And then, when you meet Jesus face to face, and he completes your redemption, you will be saved. I explained that to a Catholic one time, and he said, "Do you know how Catholic you sound?" And I said, "Do you know how Christian that sounds?" He looked at me and he said, God, he thought that was strange. I said, "Quit arguing about the little stuff." And he said, he looked at me and he said, "That is just so weird. How do you know that?" And I said, "That's in the Bible." Oh. But we get these people that draw these lines and say, you're part of that once saved, all saved bunch, ain't you? Said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to try to push the line and see if I can find out a way to not be saved." But yeah, I'm saved. I'm staying that way. And if you think that because I make some stupid mistake that I'm going to not be saved, you're crazy. I couldn't qualify myself to be saved in the first place. I don't think there's anything that's going to unqualify me. Amen. Now go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Did you get all that? We're part of the body of Christ. We're knit together within the body of Christ. And the way this thing is designed is Jesus is the head of the church. Did you know that? Jesus is the head of the church. The body of Christ is the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And we're knit together, and we work together, and we add to the body of Christ. We're nourished from Jesus, and then we take that nourishment out into the world, and we add to the body of Christ by getting other people born again, bringing them into the body of Christ. But not just that, bringing them in. Get them born again and bring them to church. Get them born again, get a Bible in their hand. Feed them. Show them things about the kingdom. Teach them about Jesus. Verse 23 is a peculiar verse. And if you want to hear what that means in normal West Texas language, here it is. Which things have indeed an appearance, I said an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, in severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Has no value. These things, these religious practices that people torture themselves with, somehow thinking they are going to make themselves more righteous in God's eyes, or maybe they're going to have more favor in God's eyes, or missing the boat. Because all of that is going to be found in Jesus, not in their religious practices. Now, always remember this. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Don't ever forget this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Some people try to say, well, I'm not keeping the law. You think for a second that any of your activities is going to qualify you before God, you're keeping the law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You're to believe on Jesus Christ and Him alone. You're to believe on Jesus for your justification. You're to believe on Jesus for your sanctification. You're to believe on Jesus for your righteousness. You're to believe on Jesus for your holiness. You're to believe on Jesus for absolutely everything. Amen? Now go to verse 21. Paul said that I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How do you frustrate grace? By trying to earn it. We are saved by grace. Remember, not just born again, we're saved by grace. That means your healing is going to be by grace. That means your prosperity is going to be by grace. Your deliverance is going to be by grace. Your protection is going to be by grace. Your peace is going to be by grace. Your sanctification is by grace. Your justification is by grace. Absolutely everything that you need in life is going to be by the grace of God. Now, why is all this necessary to know? I'm going to give you an anchor for your soul. People need to have this. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." That was Adam. When he sinned in the garden, sin entered the world. It was turned loose. "So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins means that you have need for a Savior. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." You should circle that. Free gift. "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, how much more which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." This is how you defeat sin. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It's not. By self-effort. It's not by a set of strict rules. It's not self-discipline. It's receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, circle that one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." You know, I remember having a preacher tell me one time, said, "You could fall from grace." You know, I said, well, there was some kind of challenge, you know, and I said, "Man, how many times can you make a mistake? And say, well, eventually you'll fall from grace. You know what happens when you sin? You fall into grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's people that are afraid that they have fallen from grace. There's people that are afraid they might fall from grace. You fall into grace. Let's look at verse. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that doesn't give you a license to be an idiot. But what it does is it does give you the ability to know that God is not condemning you. He's on your side. Once you receive that gift of no condemnation, like the woman that got caught in the act of adultery, and they took her to Jesus, and they said, by the law, she should be stoned. And Jesus wrote something in the sand, and everybody went away. All the rock throwers, the religious mafia, went away. And said, where are those that condemn you? He said, there's none that condemn you. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. What happened first? Did he? Because if he had told her to go and sin no more and I won't condemn you, she would have failed and she would have been under condemnation. But he didn't do that. He said, I don't condemn you. He just gave her a license to have victory in life. The gift of no condemnation came before the sinlessness did. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do. Get a hold of this now. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He put Jesus on the cross and took care of the sin problem. Now here's why. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, this is an identity thing. I ran into these verses, and I started thinking, I thought, man, this is really cool. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I stopped there and I thought, man, those are my verses. I like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I told the pastor that and he said, oh, that's just spiritual blessings. Is there any tangible blessing, physical blessings, you know, money blessings? That's for the Jews. And I didn't have this whole thing sunk into my heart, and I thought, wow, did I miss something somewhere? I did. Whenever you read these two verses, every single time you read these two verses, don't ever read these two verses without reading verse 29. Verse 29 said, if you be Christ, are you born again? Then you're a Christ. You belong to Christ. Period. It says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Like, what did Abraham have? You know, when Melchizedek met him after the slaughter of kings, the first thing he did, he went up there and said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, don't it? That pretty much covers it all. That's what you fell heir to. That's yours. That doesn't belong to the Jewish people. That belongs to you. See, sometimes you can read the Bible backwards and it turns out pretty cool. You were with Jesus through his whole passion. You were with Jesus through his hanging on the cross. Because your old man died on the cross. Your old man got nailed to the cross. You had to be with Jesus when that happened. You know, you were with Jesus when God raised him back to life. That's how you got justified freely by his grace. And now you're with Jesus. You're in Jesus. Seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities and power, might, and dominion. In every name that is named. Every single name that is named. I don't care what name, what new name the doctors come up with. You're already saved from that name, and you have authority over that name. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, we rejoice in our identities in Christ, that we are in him. And we are complete in him. And that everything we need is wrapped up in him. And we thank you that you have already freely given it to us with Christ Jesus. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.